WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
If Frederick Forsyth could write as well as he can plot, and if John le Carré could plot as well as he can write, one of them might have produced Eye of the Needle, wrote Rod MacLeish. Eye of the Needle was Ken Follett's first bestseller and was made into a 1981 movie. His thrillers Triple, The Key to Rebecca, and The Man from St. Petersburg were also bestsellers. Although Follett is one of today's most popular writers of spy thrillers, he's gone off on a new direction in his new novel, The Pillars of the Earth. It's a historical novel set in 12th century England about an architect who builds cathedrals. I asked him why the switch from thrillers.
I've done six thrillers now, and I felt ready for a new challenge, something that would be different and more difficult to do. And I also wanted to reach out to a wider audience, because there are quite a lot of people who buy bestsellers, popular fiction, but don't like spy stories. There are a lot of people who are turned off by the mechanics of the paraphernalia of the spy story. And there's a bigger market for a general novel than there is for a specifically suspense novel. So I wanted to reach out to that wider market. Not that I'm dissatisfied with sales of my previous books, but I just wanted to be ambitious and reach out and try harder.
Gee, what do you feel you need a wider market for? Haven't you had five or six number one bestsellers?
Yeah, that's true. But listen, we sell 2 million copies in paperback of my book, so why not go for 4 million? Sidney Sheldon sells 4 million, why shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Publishers Weekly recently reported that your publishers had a three-step research campaign before they embarked on their marketing campaign. There was focus groups that did interviews with readers. There were mall interviews to evaluate the title and jacket design, and then a telephone survey to evaluate familiarity with and general perception of your work. What were your feelings about that kind of research effort?
I was the instigator of it.
You were?
Yeah, I twisted their arm and made them do it, and made them pay for it, because always in publishing, everybody has these theories, you know, about what color jackets appeal to people and what books women read and what books men read and what kind of advertising works and doesn't work. And it's rare for publishers to do market research. And I really felt we ought to. We ought to know more about the people that we're trying to appeal to. Not that I'll write the books any differently, but it may make a difference to what kind of jacket we put on. And in this case, we in fact changed the title as a result of the market research.
From what?
This book was going to be called Allegiance. All the publishers liked the title. I liked that title. That was going to be the title. But during the market research, they tested five titles altogether. And to our surprise, Allegiance did not turn the readers on. And the title that turned them on most was The Pillars of the Earth, which had been rejected early on. And when this market research information came in, we all suddenly realized that The Pillars of the Earth was a really terrific title. And so that's what it is. And I think that's terrific, because what I do is entertain people. My business is to please people. And I'm thrilled to be able to persuade publishers to spend money finding out exactly what it is that people want and like.
Mm-hmm. You said that there are so many preconceptions that people in publishing have about what readers do and don't like. What preconceptions were proven right and which were disproved by the research campaign?
Well, now, let's see. We originally thought that people would be impressed by the length of time that I had taken to write this book. Because we thought people would feel, wow, his heart is really in it, and so on. It turns out that when we told people that the book took over 3 years to write, they were rather turned off by that and thought it might take over 3 years to read. So that we decided to de-emphasize that. And now, of course, I've spoiled the whole thing by repeating this on national radio. Let me see, what else did we learn? We learned that people were turned off by the idea of a book about religion. And, of course, this book, as you know, is not about religion, although it's about people who are involved in building a church. It's a very material book. It's a book about their struggles to raise the money, to defend themselves from marauders and from barons and so on. It's about people falling in love and having children. It's not about religion at all, but it was clear, what we learned from the market research was that we had to make it clear to people that this is not a religious book.
Ken Follett, how did you start writing fiction? You started off professionally as a newspaper reporter.
Well, there's a story about that. I my car broke down, and I needed £200 to get it fixed, and I didn't have £200. This was in 1973, when £200 was a lot of money, and I had a new baby and a new mortgage. I had just moved to London, and I couldn't get my car fixed. And another reporter on my newspaper had just written a thriller and sent it to a publisher, and he'd got an advance of £200. And the only way I could think of to raise the money to get my car fixed was to try and do the same. And so I wrote a thriller, which was which I sent to the same publisher, and I got £200 and I got my car fixed.
Was the thriller any good?
No, it wasn't very good. It was published, and it sold a few copies, but nothing spectacular. And then I was on my way. Then I thought, this is terrific. I'll get another £200 if I write another book. And so that's how I got started. But I used to write too fast. I didn't plan carefully enough. I didn't really work hard enough on those early books. And gradually I got more serious about it and worked harder at it. And my 11th book was Eye of the Needle.
My guest is best-selling spy novelist Ken Follett, but his new book is a historical novel called The Pillars of the Earth. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Ken Follett is my guest. You've described some of those early mysteries that you wrote as racy with lots of sex. Was that good practice?
For what?
For writing your future bestsellers.
All writing is good practice. All writing is good practice for writing. And, I learned a lot. I left the newspaper I was working for. I went to work for a small publisher, and I worked as an editor on books, and that was also very educational for me. I learned a great deal about what makes a bestseller by working for a publisher and getting manuscripts in and looking at them and thinking, this is good, and then thinking, but will a million people go out and buy it? What is there about this book that will make a million people go out and buy it? What is there about this book that will make people say to their friends, you must read this book? And in trying to identify that sort of factor in other people's manuscripts, it helped me to set myself that standard.
When you started getting serious about writing fiction and you started reading other people's novels, were you reading them to teach yourself how to write?
Very much.
So what would you do when you would read a novel from, say, Frederick Forsyth or John le Carré? How would you read it to learn from it?
Well, I would stop every now and again and say, what is it about this that makes it so good? Why am I desperate to find out what happens next? And in what way is this different from what I wrote last night? This is when I was writing books that weren't selling very well. In what way is this different from what I wrote last night or from that manuscript that just came in over the transom yesterday? What is it that's making you turn the page? The answer is a lot of things. There isn't one single answer. I finally realized that for a book to really work, a lot of things have to be right. It's not quite true that everything has to be right, but a lot of stuff has to be right. The characters have to be believable. You have to like one or two people in the story. The story has to develop at the right pace so that at every point there is something that you're curious about. It doesn't have to be a fight on the edge of a cliff on every page of the book, but there has to be something that's drawing you on. at every point. And there's no, if you want to write a bestseller, you can't have a patch in the book where the reader's allowed to lose interest. You mustn't lose the reader for a single page.
Can you give perhaps a specific example of something that you changed in your writing after studying the work of other writers?
Yes. I saw an interview on TV with a British thriller writer called Dennis Wheatley, who's now dead, and he said, if there's a fight, it must go on for a long time. And I realized when he said it that it was absolutely right, and it was something that I had never done, because I was always sort of a little embarrassed at having grown men actually throw punches at one another, and so I would always, fights in my early books would always be over in a couple of lines. And I realized that a fight in a book is probably the climax of a long dramatic conflict between two people. And the conflict is eventually expressed and resolved in a physical confrontation. And that this is very important for the reader, because the reader has seen these people being enemies for 100 pages or whatever it is, and he doesn't want it all to be resolved in 2 seconds, or she, if it's a female reader, doesn't want it to be resolved in 2 seconds. They want to experience that fight, and they want to see it go to and fro. So when I came in Eye of the Needle to write a scene, classic scene, a fight on top of a cliff, I decided this fight is going to be 6 pages, and I'm not going to finish it until I've actually got 6 typed pages. And I choreographed it, and I wrote down everything I could think of that could possibly happen in a fight. He punches him with his left fist, he punches him with his right, one kicks the other, one falls down, the other falls down. Everything that could possibly happen, and I had, I think, 30 or 40 different individual things that could happen. And I just would not let myself go on to the next scene until I had 6 pages. And I thought, well, if it's boring, I don't have to use it. I can cut it later. But I just kept on and on. And actually, that fight worked terrifically well. It was one of the best things in the book. And it wasn't too long. I mean, Dennis Wheatley's advice was absolutely right. The fight should go on for a long time.
That's really interesting. So you still follow that advice in your
absolutely.
More recent books?
Absolutely. Those physical confrontations must go on for a long time. The reader wants them to last.
Eye of the Needle and several other of your thrillers are set during or just before World War II. Were you born right after the war?
I was born in 1949, mm-hmm. So I have no memory of the war. It was for me, it was a historical period that I had to research.
Were there a lot of war stories that were told around the kitchen table when you were growing up?
No, but what happened was that about the time I started writing novels, the details of what the intelligence services had done in the war began to come out. In England, there's what's called a 30-year rule, and certain things have to be kept secret for 30 years. So in the mid-70s, the secrets of what the intelligence services had been doing during World War II began to come out, and historians began to read the papers and write books about them. And notably, there was a famous book called Bodyguard of Lies about deception during mm-hmm. World War II. And it was from that book that I got the idea for Eye of the Needle and also the idea for The Key to Rebecca. So it was that interest in that subject in the mid-70s that actually inspired me.
Do you plan on writing more spy thrillers?
Probably not. The Pillars of the Earth looks like it's going to be a big success. And I would like to write more books of this kind of weight, rather more substantial, slightly longer books with a big, challenging theme.
Now that you no longer have to read thrillers to study how they're put together, what do you read?
I like, very much like, one or two serious North American writers, such as Larry McMurtry and Pat Conroy, I admire very much. I like the Latin American writers such as Gabriel García Márquez and Mario Vargas Llosa. And I also read Victorian novels quite a lot. I admire George Eliot enormously, as most people who like literature do. And I read Dickens a lot. And I like Jane Austen.
And when you read that literature, do you find yourself taking it apart as you once did the best-selling spy novelist?
No. I'm just awestruck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ken Follett, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.